yardage they talk like this. Honey, so long, been good to know ye, so long. It's been good to know ye, so long. It's been good to know ye. This dusty old dust is a-getting our home, and I've got to be drifting along. Now the telephone rang. And
this is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. Itasca Waters continues their Practical Water Wisdom webinar series Thursday, September 4th at noon. This month, learn about stormwater runoff and the problems it can cause. Register at itascawaters.org. The History of Jazz airs Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 4 with host Paul Kivi, exploring the distinctly American art form. Hear more Jazz Sundays at 6 p.m. with volunteer-hosted Jazz on America Avenue. Stages of the Range Players holds auditions for the ice fishing play September 8th and 9th from 4:30 to 6:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Virginia. The play was written by Minnesota storyteller Kevin Kling, and performance dates are in November.
Oh la la.
Song today, celebrating the look, whatever that might mean for you. Tats and hats and gender bending, how to be seen when you make the scene. Stay tuned for Stay Human.
Danger Twins with Style. I'm Michael Goldberg, and as always, I got all dressed up today to be on the radio, but you can listen in your pajamas. I don't care. Coming up on today's show, friends and neighbors tell how they present themselves. Tattoos, transitioning, and in her mid-80s, Jane Gilbert shops for the perfect bra. It's true that for those of us who live in the woods, the most important thing about our wardrobe is its practicality, how to protect yourself from the elements. But even so, there is no dress code. You can blend in if you want to, or you can let your beautiful self shine.
They say I'm crazy, got no sense, but I don't care. They may or may not mean offense, but I don't care. You see, I'm sort of independent. I am my own superintendent, and my star is on the ascendant. That's why I don't care. I don't care. happy-go-lucky. They say that I'm plucky, contented, and carefree. I don't care, I don't care if I do get a mean and stony stare. If I'm not successful, it won't be distressful, 'cause I don't care. A girl should know her etiquette. Alas, alack, propriety demands we walk a narrow track. When fellas used to blink at me, I'd freeze them and they'd shrink at me. But now when fellas wink at me, I wink at them right back. I don't care if people frown on me. Perhaps it's the lone way, but I go my own way. That's my philosophy. I don't care, I don't care if he's a clerk or just a millionaire. There's no doubt about it, I'll sing and I'll shout it, 'cause I don't care. Oh, I don't care, I don't care. When it comes to happiness, I want my share. Don't try to rearrange me. There's nothing can change me, 'cause I don't care.
Judy Garland from one of the MGM musicals. Our first storyteller today is Grand Rapids writer Jane Gilbert, with an adventure she had when she was in her mid-80s.
Thoughts on an uplifting subject. I hate shopping, and the very worst of all is having to shop for a new bra. Bras may come in orderly sizes, but women do not, and you have to try on 50 to find the one that fits. And when you do find the perfect bra, they immediately discontinue that model. But at least if you don't put them in the dryer, they won't wear out very fast. It's probably been 15 years since I bought a new bra. The ones I'm wearing now are getting rather old and tired, somewhat like their wearer. And besides, I've recently lost some weight. There's quite a bit of room inside the cups these days. But the idea of having to go out and shop for a new bra simply terrified me. I'd go into a store and wander through the lingerie department like a bewildered child. There are too many choices, the materials are completely foreign to me, and there's no one to help or even answer a question. I whined about this to daughter number one and was told, "Mom, there is a place you can get some help. You won't believe it. Go to Victoria's Secret." So, the next week, I screwed up my courage, drove to Champaign, and went to Victoria's Secret in the mall. I was the only customer in the store at 10:30 on a Monday morning. Eventually, a pleasant young woman came out of the back room and asked if she could help me. I said wistfully, "I do hope so." She quickly and skillfully took my measurements over my clothing, told me my size, and asked if I wanted an underwire. A what? If I hadn't already invested an hour and some gasoline in the project, I might have turned and walked out right then. Instead, I simply said no. She brought me one bra, took me to a dressing room, and instructed me to ring the bell when I wanted help. Even alone, there's something kind of creepy about stripping down in a dressing room. It's that big mirror and way too much light. I tried on the bra. It sort of fit. There was no extra room in the cups, just the opposite. If I'd been 16 and going to the prom, the cleavage effect might have been fine. But it wasn't me. I pushed the bell, and the nice woman came back, took a look at me, and shook her head. She went away and came back with three more bras, one with an underwire, one in a different size, and the third one black. I could see we were already scraping the bottom of the barrel. With all those bras out there on display, was this the best she could do? I tried and quickly discarded the first two. The black one seemed to fit and be modest enough for a senior citizen. When the woman returned, I asked about colors. She showed me a chart with 10 different colors on it for this model bra. I said I would take two, one white and one nude, and wear them for a month. If I liked them, I would buy more, which she said I could do with a phone call. I was very grateful for a successful find and very relieved to get dressed again. At the desk, things got complicated. Of course they did. When was buying a bra ever easy? The chart might say 10 colors, but the computer said, not so fast. White and nude were not available in my size. I could have turquoise or hot pink or lavender. I felt those colors would be out of place in my underwear drawer, so I settled for pale rose. Footnote. Daughter number two says I should be open-minded about color. You never know, Mom, what a turquoise bra will do for your day until you try it. I treated myself to a very nice lunch and drove home feeling proud of myself for bravery and at least partial success. So proud, in fact, that I started telling my women friends and relatives about my adventure. And boy, did I get a reaction. I heard bra-buying stories from every direction. I was deluged with advice on where to go and how to shop and what to buy. One woman said she buys all her bras online. Another said it's impossible to buy a bra online. Almost everyone thought I was mad even to try Victoria's Secret. And several, including one woman my own age, sang the praises of sports bras, a product I had heard of but never considered buying. I thought they were just for young women who actually do sports. Sports bras are very different from regular bras. The engineering is different, the fabrics are different, and above all, the price is different. Sports bras are cheap. So I thought, what the heck? I tried Victoria's Secret, didn't I? I went to Walmart and bought one. Back home again, I looked at the new device in my hand. The fabric was soft and stretchy, but it looked so small. That chest band would be snug when I put it on, but to get it there, it would have to go either over my hips or over my shoulders. The problem looked insoluble. For the next 2 minutes, I gave a very good imitation of a contortionist. After a couple of false starts, I found the right opening to step into and began trying to pull the thing up over my hips. I twisted and wiggled and jiggled, and as I danced, the straps wrapped themselves around the band. I ended up simply rolling it into place. My cat tells me it was not a pretty sight. But once installed, the bra was surprisingly comfortable, like not having on a bra at all, except that I didn't jiggle when I walked. I wore it until bedtime, when I was faced with the issue of taking it off. Same question, up or down? I tossed a mental coin and decided to try up. Another minute of contortions and I was free and rather pleased with myself for my daring experiment. The bottom line? The expensive pink bras from Victoria's Secret have been returned for a full refund. I have worn the sports bra several times since and am still weighing the pros and cons. Comfort and price, versus inconvenience. I may buy another one next week.
My thanks to Jane Gilbert. Here's John Batiste. More personality than you do. That sage advice was offered to me by you, Utah Phillips. At the time, I was wearing a stingy brim straw hat for a hot summer day in Manitoba. Utah was wearing a kufi, the short round brimless cap of North Africa in brilliant colors. As I remembered, he was also wearing a dashiki. When I complimented him on that, he said, "Let bagwams be bagwams." The advice about what hat never to wear has haunted me ever since. I didn't feel too self-conscious when he said it. After all, my straw hat had a good deal less personality than his outfit, which was only fitting. But as the years piled up, like the growing collection of hats on my closet shelf, I have wondered more than once if I dare today to wear the pork pie, the felt, or the straw that hat Annette knitted for me, or the fancy one from St. Paul. How would I know, I asked myself, if the hat does have more personality than me? I bought this one in Palermo, that one in Lubbock, Texas, but wouldn't it be a safer bet just to grab a seed cap and stay under the brim? It's not so much that I need to be noticed, but I don't mind the idea of being remembered. The first hat I ever bought for myself, found at a used clothing store when I was 16, was a nicely battered top hat of the style worn by Rich Uncle Pennybags, better known as Mr. Monopoly. My model for this choice, the very embodiment of unrestrained impulse, was Harpo Marx. He wore that hat, bent and torn like mine, as if to say, I'm as good as any muckety-muck. But it was on a cloudy day in my 30s that hats suddenly got to the top of my list. I was outdoors when the air started misting, and I felt at the crown of my head something I had never felt before in all my life, a single cold, wet drop of water. Because heretofore, my scalp had been protected by a healthy head of curly hair. I tell you what, that's baby skin up there. It's not meant to be out in the weather. One time, when my barber and I were discussing what had started as a spot and now, like the expanding universe, got a little bigger every day, I said, maybe I should get a tattoo there, show some bald pride. Yes, he said, get a tattoo of a little guy pushing a lawnmower. So there's that. Or I could try to justify my vanity on religious grounds. Orthodox Jews are instructed always to keep their heads covered, a constant reminder of the one above. A friend of my mother's once asked her if I was a pious Jew, and she laughed, no, he just adores that fedora. I do not wear hats for the same reasons cranes dance and frogs sing. I'm just playing around. Maybe that is the same reason. I will admit, I do sometimes notice admiring looks from them that might admire such a thing. And then there's the wide-brim, light pumpkin orange straw I got in a haberdashery in New Orleans. You can pick me out in a crowd every time in that one. Once, walking into the library when I was middle-aged, ancient-looking to him, a high school kid stopped me. Eyeing my beret, he said, were you around in the 60s? I had the impression that his boldness was intended to impress the girl beside him. I confess that, yes, I had been around, and when he said, that must have been so cool, I assured him that it wasn't exactly like he'd seen in the movies. The simple beret, I've a few of them, seems more than any other headwear to invite people to make some comment, occasionally in a cartoonish French accent. I've learned to tolerate this and, when possible, to interpret it as a compliment. But honestly, I'm not trying to pretend to be an artist or anything. The beret is eminently practical, quick to don and doff, easily tucked into a sleeve, snug when that's what's needed, or in warmer weather, a slightly larger, lighter weight one. The merino wool beret is perfect for any conditions. Its porous fibers trap moisture. You'll never feel wet. When it's cold outside, this wool holds the air for nice insulation, and when it's warm, it pulls sweat away from your skin. Stay cool and dry. Whenever I take this particular beret out of its box, I tip my hat to the keepers of merino sheep. There have been psychological studies that suggest that wearing a hat may increase focus, minimize distractions, and so improve short-term memory. I'm not sure if this finding has been thoroughly vetted or whether it's a bowler or the flat cap with fold-out air flaps that'll be more efficacious for the purpose. Further research is required. I'm guessing, though, that it's largely a matter of confidence. Anxiety always reduces cognitive function, so if you feel right in the right hat, more power to you. There is a brotherhood of the well-hatted. We nod our respects to and appreciation of each other. And if you wear hats, people tend to give you hats. My friend Lisa curated her brother's hat collection after his death and gave me a splendid dark green virgin wool Filson. You'll recognize me in it if we should meet up sometime. I'll be the guy in the hat.
Real slow.
WAXE, telling the stories of the people and the land of northern Minnesota. Thanks so much to the listeners whose generous support keeps us on the air. You can join us anytime and listen to us from anywhere at kaxe.org. This program, Stay Human, receives additional support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund, part of our state's legacy funds. Up next, from Brainerd, writer and storyteller Dan Hegstad.
I've got a friend who's so old, his Social Security number is 7. He's so old, he remembers when the Dead Sea was sick. Well, I'm so old, I remember when tattoos were taboo. Yeah, back in the day, if you had a tattoo, it was likely a seahorse on one arm and an anchor on the other. And that was okay as long as you'd served in the Navy. Anything beyond that was for beatniks, bikers, and pirates. It was, as David Crosby wrote, letting my freak flag fly. Google it, kids. Tats separated you from polite society and disqualified you from many jobs. And it wasn't that long ago you had to wear long-sleeve shirt if you had ink on your arm. The greatest generation were indeed great, but their rules of conformity were onerous and unnecessary. Times have changed, and it's for the best. Tats and hair, finally acceptable. About a third of Americans have tattoos, slightly more women than men. Costs range from hundreds to thousands of dollars, sometimes many thousands. So I've been thinking about getting some ink, but what would it be and where would it reside? They say if you're thinking of a tattoo, you should imagine what it would look like on your grandma. Yeah, if you're lucky, you're going to be that old someday. Well, I was 22 back in 1977 when the Smokey and the Bandit Trans Am was the hot car. There was nothing more cool than that black Trans Am with the eagle on the hood. But times change, styles change, people change. Muhammad Ali said a man who views the world the same at 50 as he did at 20 has wasted 30 years of his life. And even though I say I'm not like most teenagers, I'm in my 60s, well, for now anyway, I now see that massive eagle decal on the hood of the Trans Am as a squawking chicken. Imagine if I'd had that tattooed on my chest when I was 22. According to the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, the cost of a laser tattoo removal can vary from $150 to $600 per treatment. Average $582. I've been practicing Tai Chi for many years, so maybe I'll choose a simple yin-yang. But then I have to decide whether or not it will show. If so, ankle, calf, inside lower arm, bicep, back, shoulder. Maybe Nordic runes. I will choose the symbols for courage, adventure, and peace. But again, if they're visible, everybody I meet's going to want an explanation of the meaning of them, and it will never end. But if they aren't visible, what's the point? I already know I'm courageous, adventurous, and peaceful. My personal choice for most things is unique but not flashy. I appreciate subtlety. Hey, I rarely even wear logoed T-shirts. I'm not going to advertise your brand for nothing. So what's the point? If I put a tattoo where it's visible, I'm sending a message. Why? I don't need to tell everyone who I am. I don't care if you know who I am. But if I put it where it doesn't show, then it's only for me and I already know who I am. I visited a tattoo artist for a price on a tasteful yin-yang, black and white inside arm. I won't say it's expensive, but it wasn't worth it to me. I now have a new appreciation for the passion those with extensive ink have for expression. I do appreciate the art, the fearless manifestation of the self, the commitment. Hey, if you want an ink and eyeball on your forehead or put a bone in your nose, I say go for it. You should follow your passion and be the person you want to be. I'm just not ready for that kind of commitment.
Thanks to Dan Hegstad. You can find more at his website, danhegstad.com.
Oh, Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Oh, Lydia, the tattooed lady. She has eyes that folks adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh, Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh, Lydia, the queen of tattoos. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus, too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia. She can give you a view of the world in tattoo if you step up and tell her where. For a dime, you can see Kankakee or Paris or Washington crossing the Delaware. Lydia, oh Lydia, the tattooed lady. When her muscles start relaxing, up the hill comes Andrew Jackson. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the champ of them all. For 2 bits she will do a mazurka and jazz with a view of Niagara that no artist has. And on a clear day you can see Alcatraz. You can learn a lot from Lydia. Come along and see Buffalo Bill with his lasso. Just a little classic by Mendel Picasso. Captain Spaulding exploring the Amazon. And Godiva, but with her pajamas on. Come and take a look at the old faithful geyser. Here we have the bloodhounds that chasing Eliza. Here's Nijinsky doing the rumba. Here's her social security number. Lydia, oh Lydia, oh have you seen Lydia? Oh Lydia, the queen of them all. She once swept an admiral off his feet. The ships on her hips made his heart skip a beat. And now the old boy's in command of the fleet. For he went and married Lydia.
Our next teller is someone who has learned to paint her life with her own colors. Dana Defoe Butler is a licensed marriage and family therapist who lives and works in Grand Rapids. I asked her when she got her first ink.
I was maybe 22 when I got my first tattoo. And I remember walking in and asking to schedule something or when I could do it. And they said, well, what are you doing in an hour? And I said, I guess I'm getting a tattoo. And I went and had lunch and I went back and I felt sick to my stomach because I was so nervous. It was an old, like an emblem that my parents had hanging in the house. And it was actually like a dove on a cross. I don't know why I was drawn to that, but that's what I wanted. But I've just always really kind of sought out like those kinds of activities. I like to get tattoos or piercings or color my hair or don't really typically stick to the normal things. And at first I wanted them places that you really, I could cover it up if I needed to. And that's not the case anymore. It's basically just like a history of myself and my beliefs. And I would say one of the ones that most people comment on is on my arm, on my left arm, there's a tree. And then the trunk is me. And then these are my three children that are connected to me. So that's my family tree. And on this side is a lion, which is my oldest son's favorite animal. And then my daughter's name is Daisy. So we have daisies. Everything on me has, you know, significant meaning. One of them is, it says the word life and it looks like it's painted because I say paint your life with your own colors. Probably my favorite one is this that says agitate, but I don't know how it comes across on your screen, but it's actually written on my arm backwards. So that's agitating to read. Because I say I exist to agitate oppressive systems. So, yeah, I have everywhere. I'm getting a new one. Actually, I'm getting my next one next Wednesday for my birthday. I'm getting a Spinosaurus on my back. I have a really large scar on my back from when I had melanoma. And I was, long story short, I was given like 65% chance of living for 5 years. And I had a dream and they said, you know, call the doctor, have him retest it. It's going to come back negative. And so I woke up and I called the doctor and I had him retest it. And it came back that I didn't have melanoma. And so that big, huge scar sits there. I'm going to turn it into a Spinosaurus because my youngest kid is a dino freak. So it just fits well to be a Spinosaurus body. Most of my ink comes from Primo ink in town. My tree and my lion, I think one on my leg, was done by Dave. Dave since has moved to California and retired from tattooing. But Troy's done, I think, one. And then Mike does a lot of mine. Mike's my primary artist. And then Taya is a good friend of mine. In fact, this one that I have on my arm, these rainbow dots, are one of the first ones she ever did when she was 15. I don't fit the stereotypical neurotypical norms. I am neurodivergent. And it makes more and more sense. My gender is very fluid. The way that I think and function. My children are all autistic, as is my husband, rally ADHD. My daughter shaves her head, colors it purple. And it actually is more normal where I sit now. But when I grew up, it was pretty conservative. So it didn't fit. I grew up in Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod schooling from kindergarten until I graduated college. I say I was pretty much Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod royalty in the cities. If you said my last name, my mother's last name, everybody knew a pastor with that name. So I got pushback. I was just always weird. You know, I would say my mom supported me the most. In being different, but then there are always kind of limits for her as well. And I think, was she 50? And now she's gotten some tattoos as well. So I think it's kind of helped her find her weirdness or express her weirdness a little bit too. Just an acknowledgement that there's a greater spectrum of how people function in so many ways and celebration of allowing people to do that. Interesting to me, I work a lot with little kids. And so like today I was at a Head Start and, you know, I have ink that comes up on my neck and then I have, you know, piercings on my face. And I'm just really glad that it's accepted and that, you know, kids can be around it. When I was teaching in a Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod school, I had to cover up. These are pheasant tracks. I grew up pheasant hunting with my dad and he died in high school and I had to cover those. And so I'm just glad that I can be myself and be around those.
My thanks to Dana Defoe Butler. Here's Dessa.
I've been Wendy, living with the Lost Boys. You spent as the deckhand on the convoy. Moved every night to prove we were something. Got confused if it was from our two that we were running. I've seen Gibraltar, I've seen the Taj Mahal, Soweto, Hagia Sophia, ship shot on pizza walls, blue, I've played to full rooms, I've played the full too, burning through the bottoms of a pair of new boots, cut my hair, take my chest down, a woman on her own must be from out of town, funny, you don't know the concessions that you're making until you catalog them, and by then the men and your battle hardened, legs and what they ask for, keepsakes and parking tickets on the dashboard, I'm here to file my report as the vixen of the wolf pack, tell patient zero he can have his rib back.
You can count my. You wanna know what class I'm in?
Count my.
You can count my.
Count my ribs.
You can't be too broke to break. As a woman, always something left to take. So you shouldn't try to stay too late. Or talk to strangers, look too long, go too far out of range, cause angels can't
everybody all the time. Stay close, hems low, safe inside. That formula works if you can live it. But it works by putting half the world off limits. Go out and be brave. Now we say be careful, stay safe. In any given instance, that don't hurt. But it sinks in like stilettos and soft earth. Like the big win is not a day without an incident. I beg to differ with it. I think a woman's worth, I think that she deserves a better line of work than simply staying vigilant. Don't give me vigilance. By definition, you can't make a difference. If the big ambition is simply standing sentry to your innocence, that's not a way to live. That can't be what a woman is. That gives her nothing to aspire to. What that is, is just a life of running fire drills.
We're running fire drills.
I was browsing the faces on the Facebook not long ago and came across a profile picture that really appealed to me, really stands out. It belongs to someone I know. They were a student of Gail's while at Northern Lights Community School in Warba. Now, Aristotle Taylor is a senior at UMD, majoring in history, but also doing a lot of theater on and off campus. I asked them to describe their appearance.
I currently have my hair up in space buns, and then most of my hair is black, but I have my bangs a bright red, and then I'm wearing a red sweater to match, bright red lipstick, a lot of red blush with white freckles. I have red mascara and really thick eyeliner because I don't have eyebrows anymore. I shave them off, so just gives me more space to do stuff like that, and lots of glitter where I can put it. I recently purchased polymorphastic online because it's the stuff that they can use to make fake dentures. So I'll be able to make my own fake set of teeth, which I'm incredibly excited for. I'm usually changing my hair and overall makeup style. I'm always getting inspired by new things, but I'm actually really liking this hair right now. So this will probably stay for a little bit longer. But a month ago, I had blue strands of hair. My hair was all still the same length. And then, like a month before that, it was half blue, half red. I am non-binary, so the idea of how I express myself is always on my mind, how people are going to perceive me. Until one day, I woke up and realized that it doesn't actually matter. There's probably a better way to put it, but that's the best I've got. And so from there, it's just been a journey of figuring out all of the ways I like to style myself and present myself. And drag gives me a really unique opportunity to do that while performing. I'm currently going to school for theater as well as history, but we'll focus on the theater here. And every once in a while, I do like to be the center of attention. So it's really fun to have that space to play with gender presentation, makeup artistry, costuming, choreography, all of that fun stuff, as well as meeting other genderqueer, gender expansive, and transgender individuals who are just so amazingly talented. It's incredible. I think the earliest memory I have of anything drag in Duluth was my mom bringing me up here for us to go see Zenith City Horror's production of Rocky Horror Picture Show, The Shadow Cast. And it's cool to have watched them essentially grow the drag scene in Duluth, as well as being able to perform alongside them these days. The Slumber Party People are a drag production company out in Fargo that I'll be performing with in early April. I think something that we could all use is a little bit more patience. I do have plenty of people in my life who are in the older generations, and they've just never been exposed to this stuff before, or they never anticipated that this would be something that would happen to someone close to them or in their family. And it's definitely a learning curve. And I mean, there's always, how do you do this? There's no real cut and dry answer. It's just a learning curve for everyone involved, and you have to take it as it is and go at your own pace with it. Testosterone, I was only on for about 6 months just because I started getting really freaked out about needles, and that's the option. But my voice is where I want it to be, and that's a pretty good place to be at. So it's definitely scary to watch like transphobic legislation that eventually ends up causing real life physical harm to transgender and non-binary individuals. I think all we can do is just raise awareness of the harm that these laws enact on transgender individuals, and hopefully someone listens. I feel incredibly safe here. I think a part of it is finding your own community, which I've definitely found here. And ultimately, I've also learned to not let hate bother me as much as it used to. And there's an extent to which it still does, because of course it will, but I can choose how I react to it.
It doesn't matter if you love him or capital H-I-M. M-M-M-M-M. Just put your paws up, 'cause you were born this way, baby. My mama told me when I was young, we're all on superstars. She pulled my hair, put my lipstick on, in a glass of her boudoir. There's nothing wrong with loving who you are, she said, 'cause it made you perfect, babe. So hold your head up, girl, and you'll go far. Just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Give yourself prudence and love your friends. Subway can rejoice the truth. In the religion of the insecure, I must be myself, respect my youth. A different law is not a sin. Believe capital H. I'm on the right track, baby. I was born this way. Don't have
Don't be a drag, just be a queen. Whether you're broke or evergreen, your black, white, beige, chola descent, your Lebanese, your Orient. Whether life's disabilities left you outcast, but leader teased, rejoice and love yourself today, cause baby, you were born this
way. No matter gay, straight or bi, lesbian, transgender life, I'm on the right track, baby, I was born to survive. No matter black, white, or beige, chola or
to Aristotle Taylor, Aris to their friends. And thanks to the other friends who joined me for today's show, Dana Defoe Butler, Dan Hextad, and Jane Gilbert. I'm Michael Goldberg, back this time next week with an hour of words and music for Spirit and Courage on Stay Human. We'll go out with one more from John Batiste, joined here by J.I.D. and Camille, Be Who You Are.
Only one out there on an eagle's wings. You're bringing something they can't bring and singing something they can't sing. I know it's lonely when saying something they ain't heard. Don't wanna share a mumbling word, cause they'll come for you and you'll get purged.
But you can only be who you are.
Nice, I don't take breaks, I don't buy the hype. We done made the way, but no time to wait. Just no waiting line, stay, place your wager. Bet on little buddy, betting safer. Melancholy, cool, calm behavior. Before the thunder rain stormed the pavement, I grew some wings that we could fly away with. Do the things that you cannot explain and find a way to get us out of the maze. What we made of, on the cusp of doing something greater. Unafraid, been over all the underestimation. Don't get mad at your imagination. If it's real magic, real you ain't gotta chase it.
You can only be who you are.
coming up next, Native Lights. It's a podcast where Native voices shine, and that's followed by the KAXC Rewind. Good afternoon. I'm Jennifer Barr. Thank you for